Hey folks, welcome to another exciting episode of Long Shots. Hey Sharad, you see, I use the word excitement now almost after three quarters. I dropped that word.
And also we're getting a lot more tech conversations going on. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of lending conversations and collection conversations, then insure tech conversations. So probably tech is the kind of common overlap there. And from that standpoint, I'm again very excited to have with us Mr. Saket Agarwal. Hey, Saket. Saket is the founder of Onovation. And before Saket describes what he does, I'd like to, have a go at it. I think Onovation essentially, invests in deep tech SaaS Israeli businesses and drives their business for India. I mean, that's what I stole from your LinkedIn profile. So, we can't deny that has some role to play in what Onovation does. Welcome to the show, Saket. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Really excited for the chat.
No, it's our pleasure.
Saket, well, would obviously love to hear the story because, there are so many things going on. Like there are, I know that we've got a little bit of a good hold on deep tech SaaS-based products, be it sort of investing or scaling. At the same time, there's an interesting India-Israel ecosystem play that's sort of sitting on the table here as well. And there's obviously some consulting services as well that you guys are doing. So we'd love to sort of hear what Onovation does and what sort of, how do you look for sort of jumping to the next level. So, a brief background and offering.
Yeah, sure. So, essentially, Israel is one of the best countries when it comes to B2B SaaS, but there are only 9 million people. So every time they build for the world. And traditionally, they're being focused on the US market. We figured a model where we said, can we identify the best SaaS companies and help them scale in India? Indian companies, on the other hand, are largely consumer tech. We have the largest, one of the largest populations in the world. And we have a lot of consumer tech apps. All these guys, in order to operate efficiently, they need help of the best SaaS solutions around cloud, data security, marketing, and ad tech. So we saw this as a very, very strong marriage. And we thought, can we help Israeli companies get a large market, which is India, and Indian companies get access to great deep tech? So that's what our business is. Today, we represent 15 Israeli companies in India. We have partnerships with them. Almost every other app you have on your phone, right from a Zomato, Lenskart, BigBasket, Hotstar, Z, all of them use something or the other from us to optimize their cloud costs or better developer productivity or cybersecurity. We also have a fund. Since we are very strategic to Indian companies, Indian consumer tech companies, because we always bring them innovative tech that can help them scale faster, we get to invest in Indian tech companies. And since we drive revenue for SaaS companies, which is the biggest value add that you can do for SaaS, we get to invest in some of the best SaaS companies in Israel. So we have a portfolio of about 35 plus companies directly and 9 venture capital funds, both in Israel and in India. The vision is clearly to create an ecosystem where we help organizations in India, Southeast Asia evolve faster using the shared learnings, on the depth side of technology and on the scale side of technology. So that's in a nutshell on Onovation. Personally, I'm an accountant. I did CA and CS. I'm born and brought up in Calcutta. Was never really interested in accounting and auditing. Just did it for the, because everyone in Cal does accounting, and realized I want to do something more, and met someone from the Israeli consulate, saw an opportunity to bridge the gap, and hence I branded myself as your Israel guy because of very core focus on the country.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but just to get a sense, like, why sort of Israel, we hear about Israel coming into the limelight as the, you know, next, I mean, the, loosely speaking, people say, oh, it's the next Silicon Valley. There are going to be big companies coming out of it. What is sort of central to their strength on the B2B deep tech or SaaS side of things? Like, is there something structurally there where, or that has created such an impression?
So, you know, the Israel, once you're 18 years old, you have to join the army for 3 years. And Israel is generally at war. So once you are in the army, the first thing you're doing is intercepting missile attacks or collecting intelligence information. So some of the best data scientists and data science companies come out of Israel. You have to process this data. So you have to do it on your own data centers because military data can't be on cloud. So people figure out the best dev tools or automation to figure out cloud and data center operations. Third is security. So 20% of world's funding on cybersecurity startups goes to Israeli cybersecurity startups. Oh, wow. Because, you know, they have to be very, very strong about cybersecurity being in the military. And the fourth area, which I, you know, observed was marketing. So before you go to Israel, they know everything about you. They make they want to make sure that you're safe to let in. Mm-hmm. And that is where, you know, profiling comes into picture. Marketing is all about profiling. So companies like SimilarWeb, IronSource, these are all Israeli companies because they really specialize in marketing and, you know, profiling as a play. So these are the strengths that I observed that Israel has. Yeah. And, you know, I saw like there's a very big play for Indian companies to, you know, leverage on that. Yeah. And build it up.
You know, when you were kind of talking about the various offerings and the levers that you have in Onimation, I kind of obviously sense there are two big areas, right? One is that there is definitely some sort of an investment play. So there's some skin in the game, right? And secondly, there is a kind of a revenue-based model, which works, right?
Yeah.
But what was the, like, and it's a chicken and egg thing, right? I mean, what was your start? Did you first started investing in companies and then you kind of went on the other end, or you started actually dealing in commercial arrangement with them and then you kind of, you know, went the investment route?
Yeah, no, great question. So it was first just to start and be a distributor. So I started, like, in very simple terms, I was a trader.
Right.
One of the first companies that we got into India, they were acquired for almost $500 million.
Mm.
And we were doing around 8 to 10% of their overall revenue.
Mm.
And, you know, today we have two more companies which are valued between $500 million to $1 billion, where about 15 to 20% of their revenue is done through us.
Right.
So when we started representing these companies, we realized that we're becoming significant contribution to the value they are adding to their company. And VCs loved us. So they said, you know, you're the most strategic individual we could have on the cap table, because every dollar in ARR you bring, our valuation jumps by 40 to 100x. Mm. So that is when we started getting allocation into the most oversubscribed rounds in US and in Israel.
Right.
And the investing journey started.
Right.
That's fascinating. And, you know, just to sort of take a step back and understand, like, deep tech SaaS, right? Let's just, for, you know, for the benefit of our audience as well, deep tech is a term that's been used extensively, right? I mean, we are sort of hearing more and more people talk about deep tech, and SaaS we get a broad understanding. But when you're looking at sort of deep tech SaaS-based companies, are they sort of, is it fair to assume there are 90% of the times B2B and they're sort of deep engineering and they don't sort of, it's not a retail B2C product? Is that sort of a fair way to think about it?
Yeah, so we're generally looking for companies where there's a really deep innovation, where it can't be copied easily. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if it's not very deep, then someone else can also build it, right?
Yeah.
Then our value proposition is not very strong. So we are largely going after companies which are disruptors in the space, have a certain sort of monopoly, and really creating a value add.
Fascinating. And what sort of, I mean, you know, it's a lot of it is about supply of companies, like more and more companies sort of that come from Israel or that ecosystem, that sort of, you automatically de facto can position yourself as the funnel to sort of go via when you're sort of hitting the Indian markets from a commercial standpoint. Is that sort of the way to think about growth as well, as the ecosystem sort of grows, more and more companies come and you sort of scale up? Or is there a geographic angle, or is there actually to think about laterally or use these skills in a different sector? Is that, or is it just about sort of you're so early stage in your innings, I mean, there's massive growth runway, so you're just going to focus on this geography and sort of become the de facto funnel?
Look, so I've got this question a zillion times. The story is simple. We realize that most of the times, a customer gives us a problem statement, 80-90% of the time, we find a company in Israel solving it. And since we are so strongly connected, we can do due diligence, we know how good these companies are, we know the founders, we know their investors, it's much easier to work with them, right? Versus an American company which plays by the book, they don't operate Saturday, Sunday. Israelis are hustlers. The time difference between India and Israel is just 2.5 hours versus 13 hours between India and US. So the ease of work in Israel is much higher than any other country. But having said that, you know, the reason why clients love us is not necessarily because of Israel. Is because of the fact that we always bring them the most innovative solution. So we do have a lot of solutions from the US and European markets where they are also very innovative. Israel as a branding helps us a lot to get a foot into the door. And then, you know, a solution could be from Antarctica. It doesn't matter as long as it is game changing.
Right. You know, obviously, when it comes to deep tech SaaS and it comes to, you know, looking, I mean, there's a fair amount of requirement matching going on here, right? In terms of the value addition that Onovation brings to the table, in the sense that in terms of understanding what exactly is required at the end and what kind of solutions serve. But these are not, these are technically intensive areas, right? And even to kind of understand the product roadmap or to understand the business case, some amount of sectoral expertise is essential. Like you mentioned clearly that like you come from an accounting background, so naturally you must be having a team of folks, you know, who are kind of also who are pretty much plugged into the sector from the standpoint of, you know, trends, the latest technologies, the latest platforms which are coming out, and you know, what is the better option out there than what one is actually utilizing. How did you go about building that team?
We don't have that team.
Okay.
That's the right answer.
Okay.
It's in fact, 90% of our team is non-technical. We don't have a technical expert at all in our team.
Interesting.
And I think maybe that's one of, I mean, if I look at our strength, that's probably our strength of scaling faster.
Right.
Because our strength is connecting the dots, and there's someone else, you know, our partners in Israel or our customers in India, they become our technical evaluators.
Understood.
So because of the fact we have customers who are so happy with us, who experience some amazing products, they would tell us we have this problem.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes they'll even tell us this company in Israel or US is doing amazingly well. Why don't you bring them to India?
Got it.
Yeah. On the other hand, in Israel, we have a very, very, very strong network of all the VCs, accelerators. So if a reputed VC is leading our deal, we get to know first.
Right.
And either we invest in them or bring them to India.
Right.
So a lot of our work is driven by common sense. Like, we typically look for three things in a company. Is it solving a really must-have problem?
Mm-hmm.
And that gets validated immediately, you know, with 5-10 CTOs we know extremely well who are happy to give us advice, mm-hmm. right? Is it a good to have or a must have?
Yeah.
If it's a must have, is it a very innovative solution where it's hard to replicate in-house?
Mm-hmm.
And third, is it generating value? Being an accountant, you know, I always look at it from a business sense than a tech sense to begin with. And I'm saying, okay, if I bring this solution to India, will it really change the game? If it does, then we launch it here.
Got it.
So because of the DNA of the organization, which is largely social network driven,
mm-hmm.
where all of us are hustling and you know, connecting the dots for different things, we automatically get to know what's good, what's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Understood.
And it's
sorry.
It's fascinating, right? Like, I mean, we here, we talk to some of the sort of investment consortiums based out of North America as well. And, you know, obviously they, we help them on the Indian side, but there there is sometimes commentary on Israel as well. So it's sort of a very watched watched market, right? I remember deep tech SaaS experts sort of saying like those average multiples they were trading at was 21 times revenue and they're expected to grow 25% growth CAGR. When you sort of look at companies, right, is there sort of a threshold when it comes to sort of revenue or profitability that you sort of look for? The reason I ask is because a lot of deep tech companies, like you rightly said, like, you know, they've spent a lot of time in engineering and designing and creating an innovative product. So sometimes you need to get in early as an early stage investor, maybe sometimes even early stage monetization or pre-monetization, right? So how do you sort of think of, you know, where you like to ideally jump in when it comes to the life stage of a company?
Look, as an investor, I would ideally like to come in as early as possible because that's where the value is. Extremely unlocked. So I come in super early because of my founder network in the region. So if one founder is investing, I get to know and then I co-invest with him. So that's on the investing side. From a distribution stand, when we decide whether we want to bring this company or not, we typically look for, you know, a great founder and a minimum viable product. What we've seen is Indian customers are more happy to test out, you know, a new product than sometimes US customers.
Yeah.
And because like, again, like I'll come back to the relationship. Once we sell one product to our customer, he's happy, he buys everything from us. So our relationships is our key strength. So if I identify a company that has a claim to solve a big problem in a more efficient manner, we would be the first people to bring them to, you know, India, test it out with a few big customers. And they will tell us on a friendly note that this is game changing. Why don't you properly launch it? Right. So they will be design partners and happy to help and support.
Right. And do you guys, like when you say you bring the business to India, like do you guys also get involved in the entire, you know, from the standpoint of legal structuring, from the standpoint of, regulatory end, that's something that you kind of look
at? Again, these are cloud first SaaS companies. So there's no legal structuring, et cetera, involved in this.
So, I mean, they mostly operate offshore?
Correct.
Right. Understood. So just
on that point, so it's sort of does data localization rules in India sort of have had any impact on sort of how business is done, or is that something sort of it's easy to find ways, nothing at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Saket, you know, obviously when you're talking of growth and it comes to, you know, like looking at like opening revenue, unlock opportunities, there is obviously that organic route. Then there is the inorganic route of M&A and, you know, kind of sourcing similar companies or synergistic companies to actually grow further. And I also saw that on your site also, M&A is something that you guys have put in as one of the service propositions. So we'd like to understand a bit more in terms of what usually is the modus operandi here, you know, in terms of looking at M&A acquisitions. Like, would you guys like do deal sourcing? Would you guys look at, you know, a viable kind of from the standpoint of valuations? Would you kind of provide, you know, benchmarking support to your customers? How do you kind of get involved there?
Yeah, so in very simple terms, our customers are new age e-commerce media gaming companies.
Right.
So their problem is, how do you launch faster, go to market faster?
Right.
Acquisition, acqui-hires are a great source.
Mm-hmm.
So again, because of our network in the country, we are able to figure out what are the right companies that could be strategic to, say, a large e-commerce company in India,
mm-hmm.
where a feature like personalization could change the game for them.
Yeah.
So we are like anything that can add value to our customers is something that we are very consciously looking at all the time. And, you know, this could be, you know, acquisitions and M&As, one of the key strategic areas that we see as a play.
Right. But is the idea to kind of also become like a kind of an advisory setup to kind of do deal sourcing? Or is the idea to kind of look at it more in terms of, you know, building in the network effects and then letting the counterparties do what they do on a business as usual going concern basis?
No, we absolutely plan to have a proper advisory, investment advisory practice in place.
Oh, very interesting. And Saket, this, there are, interestingly, you know, there are a number of companies that I think, I don't know whether you have invested yourself in an individual capacity or through innovation, you know, names that we have also kind of looked at and heard, like, you know, eWage, BlueSmart, Country Delight, Alteria. So how are you, like, when you kind of do the investment journey yourself, how do you go about it? You know, how do you kind of... what's the approach that you like to follow? Do you like to come in as a co-investor and kind of piggyback on someone else's diligence? Something that you hear and you go about it, or you go deep dive into the models yourself and, you know, figure
in
it
India,
out?
Absolutely. Like, I only co-invest. Look, I put angel checks, so I'm not like a big investor. So there's no point evaluating. Of course, I do my own set of due diligence, which is basic, you know, understanding the founder, the vibe, the space, if I relate to it or not. Typically, when a Matrix, Sequoia, Accel, Tiger, when they invest, I get some allocation to co-invest with them.
Right.
The partners could bring me in, or the founders, because if we come in, we add a lot of value on the product tech strategy front.
Right.
So that's the way we look at it.
Right. By the way, what's the origin of hashtag your Israel guy? Like, how did that entire, like, what was the, it's a fairly catchy, you know, I would say identifier. What was the, I'm sure it benefited, and kind of served the endpoint very well. But what's the origin of the semantic of your Israel guy? Like, was it something you saw somewhere and you thought, okay, this is an idea. Maybe I can kind of, you know, iterate it for myself.
There is a your China guy.
Okay.
And a friend of mine. So he's based in China, and anyone who wants to do something in China, they reach out to him.
Right.
That was how the idea came.
Yeah.
But obviously, I was not sure if I should use it.
Mm-hmm.
It so happened that every other party or conference or stuff I would go to, people would, you know, very fondly introduce me as, okay, this is the king of Israel, ambassador of Israel, like,
right.
You know, like very fancy, lavish introductions. And like, you know, just last week I was at a party and I met three people, and three of them said, hey, we met someone, last week, and we spoke about you.
Right.
Someone came and told me that you're, there is a guy in your building who does stuff with Israel, who's an Indian Israeli guy. And both of them said, okay, we know Saket.
Right.
So many people used to come and tell me that we met someone and we Israel came into picture, and then naturally your name came up.
Right.
So I thought, why not amplify that?
Yeah.
As a thing, and hence I have branded myself, and it's only reaped results now.
Interesting. So I was thinking, you know, parties are very helpful. It's not like you only kind of drink and have fun. Ideas also come through them, no?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I messaged my friend who's your China guy. Can I use this as your Israel guy? He was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant.
Interesting.
That's a lovely story. Sorry, Sharad, I think you're saying something.
No, I'm not saying, Sanjit, over time, I mean, Israel expertise obviously very helpful, and you've sort of almost cracked it. But I see like there's the synergies here to become like a deep market or vertical SaaS expert as well, right? Just because of how much of that niche you focus on. Is there an ambition to sort of... try to be like a very focused vertical SaaS or deep tech SaaS based VC platform. I was just going through, you also invested in like some companies like Peak Performer and things like that, which obviously there's a client angle there as well, but which you need to understand a little bit about vertical SaaS. Is that, I understand accounting background, but like,
vertical is not a focus at all. We generally want to stick to deep SaaS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Performer was an investment because I'm extremely passionate about mental health and health coaching. So, for instance, every single employee in our company has access to a life coach. I was inspired by this show called Billions.
Right.
If you've seen that. So, Wendy Rhodes. And I was like, I need a Wendy Rhodes for my company. So, every single employee goes to 2-3 one-on-one sessions with the life coach. We've seen massive impact. Like, I'm very proud about the culture we've built in the company. Namrata can share more. She spent some time. And Peak Performer was exactly solving that problem. So hence I invested in Peak Performer, and Sarsen is another company in the space. But we're not very focused on vertical SaaS like a Freshworks or a Ixhotel. That's not our key. Customers typically come to us for solutions which are extremely differentiated, where there's no competition. So that's the play. Definitely an angle that we're exploring is a fund, because we have very unique access to great SaaS companies. Currently, I put angel checks. I sometimes syndicate around. We don't charge anything for it. But the idea is, can we, you know, set up a fund, put in few million dollars in a company, but also quickly generate $1 million, $2 million ARR, because we have a sales team, we know how to sell, we have a customer base, which would be unmatched compared to any of the other VCs, right? Because people make introductions, but closing a deal is the hardest thing, which is what we do.
How big is the team at Onimation right now?
We're about 22 people.
Okay, that's very good.
Tell me, Saket, I mean, obviously, the more and more we talk, I'm kind of getting a sense that there's a fair amount of network effect and relationship-driven commerce that's going around, right? I mean, to be very fair, in spite of, all the conversation about, automation or role of technology when it comes to building networks, like, I think me and Sharad probably concurs that when it comes to, long-term, big-ticket kind of relationships, there's surely the human element is something which cannot really be understated. But if you kind of look at your own journey, like from right now you're 22 people, right now you're covering one geography, and you're focusing on a particular sector. Obviously, going forward, you might expand to other geographies. You might also look at other sectors, and you might have to, like, obviously then you need more and more warm bodies behind that entire network effect that you need to build out at a business level. Are you thinking of some sort of a sales automation or sales enablement internally to kind of figure that out? Or you feel that, it's about talent, it's about getting the right folks and just building it up step by step. And there is enough value on the table not to kind of, get bogged down by their entire technology narrative internally to scale your business?
Good question. It's always, always a thought. So many times I'm crazy about building relationships, networking, socializing. I can go to a conference and meet like 100 people in a day, make sure they all remember me once they meet me. Obviously, like, it's limiting to me. So we've always, we are building a culture where everyone actually hustles and networks and builds their own relationships. So we put a lot of emphasis on that. Is there automation in place? We are doing a lot of stuff where we can automate things in terms of keeping the relationships warm, maintaining follow-ups, keeping in touch with every customer in some form or the other. We are 100% going at finding the right talent, which can build those relationships. But the play we feel is like human element is very important in our business. So can we enable the existing team with doing that better? With the right insights and data points so that they can engage and build a relationship better with our client is how we are using tech.
So, you would like to characterize yourself as a tech-enabled organization rather than a tech-centric one, right?
Yes. Right. Because the reason why people talk to us is our relationship, where they do help, where they just do add value to the company.
Right. So, Saket, what's next? How are you, you were saying, like, in terms of like forward-looking journey, what kind of, we don't even have to get into numbers, but in terms of just where do you see the growth for your business? Is it going to be kind of go horizontal across sectors within the same geography that you like and where you have a deep network, or is it about actually going to multiple geographies and kind of doing the same thing that you have been doing here and automating it and scaling it?
Multiple geographies, right? So, of course, India at some point, we will continue strengthening the business here. We definitely are very serious about other markets. We have an office in Singapore now.
Right.
And that will grow and evolve very quickly.
Right.
After that, we plan to start something in the US market as well.
Interesting.
The need that we're solving really is, you know, for high growth companies, they don't have the bandwidth or, you know, patience to figure out what to use for what.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are constantly plugged into what's new, what's exciting,
mm-hmm.
we are able to come in and add value to these companies, whether you are sitting in the US, which has already got a lot of awareness, but you need someone to come sit with you and say, use these 10 solutions and, you know, be that one point of contact versus, you know, the 50 points of contact you will create when you evaluate multiple vendors.
Understood.
So, yeah, so geography expansion is definitely a play for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the second big play for us is fund. So mm-hmm. how do we create the world's most strategic venture capital fund?
Right.
That can help us grow. Yeah.
Right. Any companies you look at like as competitors or as peers, you know, who are doing something similar to you guys are doing or adjacent?
So we are, I would say we are a new age BCG, McKinsey, Bain.
Right.
Typically, they would come and do a digital transformation exercise, use a lot of analysts, give you a report.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying, can we accelerate your journey by adding, you know, by bringing you solutions that have already solved it so you can deploy it and fix tomorrow.
Right.
Right. So we are more on the side of saying plug and play solutions. Other consulting firms deploy people at it.
Right.
And then it takes time to build and manage and maintain and scale. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, how do we help our clients focus on strengthening their strength, which is a co-product?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas everything there is, they are weak on, we mm-hmm. find someone who's very strong at it.
Right.
So that's how we're creating that manage.
Right.
Is there any level of sort of customization that usually you see your customers or clients ask for?
All our cloud first companies, you know, digital.
Yeah.
So it's not really required as well.
Right.
Very interesting.
Cool, Saket. This was fun. It was, I mean, to be very fair, you know, and I think it's a very innovative model, and you have created a micro monopoly of sorts within that space. That's the dream. So we wish you all the best. We'll definitely be, you know, watching out for your business and more milestones in the future. So no, thank you so much for your time. This was fun, Sharad. What do you say?
Yeah, it was thoroughly exciting, and we understand the different pieces of the business, and to put them all under one umbrella is very exciting. There is obviously a moat that you, there's obviously a layered moat that you have built, right? Obviously, one is sort of more the relationship and actually going there and sort of building those connections, which is hard for anyone to replicate overnight. So that really is something interesting. Second, I think there's enough deal flow, like biggest people would struggle for is deal flow, and on the demand side, the customer, I think you've got both those things sorted, because as I understand, Israeli companies are really hot for SaaS companies. So deal flow on that side is sorted. And I think everyone is fairly bullish on companies emerging from India who are sort of catering to large audiences. So the opportunities to plug and play in your own words into multiple companies, it seems like all the tailwinds are lined up. So that's what's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I like the entire single window idea. And I think that way the choice of... having razor sharp clarity on a particular geography and on a particular vertical, and then become like the single window solution on both the sides. I think that's the real, moat in my head. So that's, I think, something which is difficult to, replicate over a short period of time. And
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the insights, and love the energy. Whenever you guys are in Bombay, do let me know.
Let's
catch up, and We'll take it from there. If you need any help, intros to anyone specific for your podcast, happy to make connections.
Oh, likewise. And if you're in Delhi, give us a shout.
I will.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys. So this is Nikhil Arora and Sharad Chupran signing off. Yeah.